So this is my opinion. I think if you can avoid popping it, if it's a little blister, don't pop it. If it does get to the point where it's so big and it's uncomfortable, then I would say pop it. And if it gets really big, I personally, like, this makes sense to me. I personally think it's better to pop it, clean it up, put a Band-Aid or something on it instead of letting it pop in your dirty, muddy, sweaty shoe.
Well, howdy, y'all, and welcome to a special edition of the Big Ass Runner podcast called The Coaching Corral. Here we talk to trail running coaches about all kinds of stuff to help trail runners cross the finish line. So mosey on in, watch your step, and stay a while. Here's your host, Coach Clydesdale himself, Jeff Harrell.
Well, welcome back to the Coaching Corral. Entering the corral today, we have Coach Melody. Coach Melody, welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, absolutely. And Coach Greg. Coach Greg, welcome to the Coaching Corral.
Glad to be back as well.
Today is day 5 when we're recording this of the Cocodona 250. I think we all three have been watching the live stream and amazed by these athletes. One of us has actually done this race before. Coach Greg, you did the very first year. Give us maybe 30 seconds on the race and kind of your perspective on how it's gone this year.
Yeah, this is actually the first time I've had a chance to follow at home, because obviously I was there the first year, and last year I was there as a pacer. So live stream is amazing. Either work from home or have flexible jobs where they can watch it. It's been the most entertaining week, and the race does a very good job of following along and giving you an idea of what the runners are going through. I imagine there's going to be more and more people every year. I wonder what that does to the DNF rate, because it just makes it seem like, you know, everyone can do it, and everyone can. They just have to put in a certain amount of work. But it's amazing. Aerovipa, they keep kicking it up another notch with every event and making trail running entertaining and accessible and you know, feeling it's hard for them to, I don't know how they can fill the time all day just watching people run, but they're doing an admirable job. And, you know, I think they're getting a lot of followers from not just the hardcore trail runners that would, you know, follow a moving dot tracker, but just others that are just bringing in a different crowd. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like each year the coverage gets better, less grainy. You got the drones and people on the course.
Yeah, drone shots are amazing.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable access to something that you didn't really get access to before. So it's super cool to see how that has evolved. Well, we were inspired by the Cocodona 250. So this episode, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about blistering. We're going to talk about chafing, two very big problems when you're doing 250 miles, when you're doing 50 miles, let's be honest, and then sleep strategy as well. And I think a lot of us have been following Sally McCray. And when she finished, I saw a shot on Instagram of her heels. She had no skin left on her heels. So let's start with blistering. And Coach Melody, I'll start with you. Just talk us a little bit about blistering, and maybe we'll start with prevention and some of the things that you're coaching your athletes on around prevention. And I'll kick it to you first.
For sure. So my answer to blisters is KT tape. So what I do is, me and Jacob, my husband, so we just get KT tape and we cut it out into little circles and we keep it in a baggie in our pack. And when we feel a hot spot come down, we stick that on. And the reason I like KT tape so much is it stays on. I haven't found anything else that stays on in your shoe when you're sweating and your feet are dirty. And I know some people who, they talk about moleskin. I don't really like moleskin. I feel like it always falls off. So that's honestly, when someone asks how to prevent blisters, that's my answer is KT tape. The only downside to KT tape is if you put it over it's great for hot spots, but if you put it over a big blister, it does stick to the entire blister, and the likelihood of it popping when you take off the KT tape is higher. Another way to prevent blisters is socks. So I don't know if, Jeff, you heard our podcast a few weeks ago.
I did.
I told the story of my first half marathon in cotton socks, and I only made it to mile 8, and also my shoes were too big, so that didn't help. This is when I was really new to the running world, obviously. And I had blisters the size of softballs on both of my feet. And I went to New York that same night, flew to New York, and I walked around with bloody stubs the entire time. And I even had to throw my shoes away that I walked around in because they were just soaked. It was terrible. It was terrible. So anyways, moral of the story, do not wear cotton socks. If I were to recommend socks, my three favorite socks are Balega. I switched to Balega socks after cotton socks, and I barely ever got blisters again. I like Balega because they're really thick, squishy socks, and then, which I'm a big fan of. I know not everyone loves the squishy socks. And Gingy is another great sock. They're the toe socks. So if you have issues getting blisters in between your toes, my husband does, and Gingy socks are great. And then if you're not a big fan of like the squishy socks like Balega, then I'd recommend Features. Features are also great socks. So anyways, I can keep going, but I'll stop there.
Yeah. So a couple of follow-up questions. So are you putting on the KT tape on prior, or is this like preventative, or is it when you feel a hot spot? And if it's when you feel a hot spot, tell us a little bit, because some people may be like, I'm not sure what that means. How do I know what a hot spot is? Talk to us a little bit about that.
For sure. So I would say both. If you know that whenever I wear these shoes, I start to feel, I'm trying to just figure out how to describe what a hot spot is. I feel like when you get a hot spot, if you don't know what a hot spot is, you'll know the first time you get a hot spot. A hot spot
I think I'm getting a blister. I think that's like the sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this is uncomfortable. My shoe is rubbing in a weird place. There, you know, is there a rock in my shoe? Or so if you know that in these shoes, I always blister in these areas, then yes, put the KT tape on. But of course, in the running world, random things happen all the time. And maybe you're someone who never blisters, and then all of a sudden on race day, you're getting hot spots and your shoes rubbing weird. Is the second you start to feel, oh, this is a little bit uncomfortable, stop and put the KT tape on. You don't want to wait till it gets worse. And even if you're not sure if it's a hot spot, but you think maybe it is, stop and put some KT tape over it.
Yeah, I think that's a pro tip. I think a lot of us tend to go, oh, I'll address it at the next aid station or whatever. But I think addressing it as soon as you can is definitely a pro tip.
100%.
Good stuff. Well, Coach Greg, you've done 250 miles. I'm sure you dealt with a lot of blister issues. You've dealt with a lot of blister issues with your athletes as well. Talk to us a little bit about some of your strategies.
Yeah. So actually, I did not have very many blisters during Cocodona. Ah. And I'll give two very similar answers to Melody, but I'll go with number two, which is not what I do now. But if you've ever had a blister or you experience hot spots in the same spot, I would pre-tape. So since we were showing blister kits, this is just some pre-cut KT tape, and there's also some Body Glide. And I would pre-cut. I would use KT tape for the toes. And there's another option. I actually prefer Elasticon, and Elasticon is a pretty sticky and it's porous. It's veterinary tape for horses. You wrap around their wrap around. Do horses have ankles? Do they still call it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's super sticky and it doesn't move. And if it gets wet, it's not going to come off. So I used to, for my first couple hundreds, I would always get blisters on the balls of my feet. So I would pre-tape with KT tape. With Elasticon, and that helped. But what I do now is I wear Exoskin toe socks, and then I have a thinner smart wool layer on top. So both socks are fairly thin, so it doesn't come out to be a big cushion sock. But when you use two socks, you know, the purpose for any kind of blister prevention is to minimize the friction between the skin of your feet and then the sock. But when you use two socks, if there's friction occurring, it's usually between the two pairs of socks. So it's not necessarily the sock touching your skin. So if you use something like ExoSkin, I actually used to use Injinji, but I like the ExoSkin a little bit better now. It wicks very well, so it keeps moisture away from the skin. And the second layer does some moisture wicking as well. And Smart Wool is a very good option, and especially the Smart Wool PhD, because it's a lot thinner. So you have two thin socks, and it comes to the equivalent of a mid-weight sock, and then two socks adds a little cushioning. So that's actually my preferred, and that's what I did during Cocodona. I did have a couple blisters, and that was on day one. The start of day two, and it was on near the heels, on the outside of my heels, and it was... I didn't wear gaiters. I brought gaiters, and I've never worn, I don't wear gaiters during all these hundreds, and I've never had a problem. But one thing specific to Cocodona and some longer races where you're going to be hiking a little bit more. So when you're hiking, your foot strike changes. So we'd all like to think that we're midfoot strikers and landing, perfectly on the balls of our feet in the midfoot. But when you start getting a little lazy or starting getting tired and you're hiking, you're heel striking first. So your gait changes and where the friction and the impact changes too. So you might find the shoe that is more comfortable running might not be as great when you're predominantly hiking. So I would imagine, I don't know if that's the case with Sally, but that's exactly where I got blisters. But we popped them on the trail, and it wasn't actually a problem later. If I'd known that was going to be a problem, well, I would just worn gaiters and it wouldn't have been a problem going forward. But anywhere, if you've ever had a issue and you're not completely comfortable with your socks, just pre-tape and it's just worth not having to deal with that problem down the road.
Yep, good stuff. Yeah, and I think for me, the 100K, my strategy was, and it's interesting you guys didn't have any, so you mentioned Body Glide, Greg, but you didn't say you necessarily put it on before. But I did salty britches all over my feet and then the ExoSkin toe socks, and that worked wonders. Now I realize that's only a 100K, but I had no issues with that. Do either of you use kind of some of the lube on the feet prior to putting on the socks?
I actually wanted to ask you guys about that because I haven't. I know that blisters are caused because your feet are wet. And so I just always thought you don't want to make your feet more wet with Vaseline, right? But I don't know. I've never done it.
I don't any longer. I did used to lather my feet up, and I think it depends on, I don't want to turn it into an ExoSkin commercial, but they specifically said they don't want you to lube between when you're wearing those socks. And it took me a while to trust that. But it's been fine. The Body Glide is just actually that's probably my kind of pacing kit since I don't really use Body Glide or any kind of lube.
Last question here, because obviously it sounds like there's different strategies that you can take with blisters, and some of it is just trying it out for yourself. Mm-hmm. All of our feet are different. But so the last question is when to pop and when to not pop a blister, because that came up when we were at the Chappas aid station and we had a lot of different opinions on that. I'm going to start with you, Coach Melody. In terms of when you feel a blister, do you pop? Do you not pop? When do you know what to do in that scenario?
So this is my opinion. I think if you can avoid popping it, if it's a little blister, don't pop it. If it does get to the point where it's so big and it's uncomfortable, then I would say pop it. And if it gets really big, I personally, this makes sense to me. I personally think it's better to pop it, clean it up, put a Band-Aid or something on it instead of letting it pop in your dirty, muddy, sweaty shoe.
Coach Greg, you agree with that?
Yeah. If it's changing the way you run, then I would pop it. I carry hopefully a sterile safety pin on me. And I pop blisters, my own blisters, or usually when I'm pacing, pop them on the trail. So if you're feeling it and it's changing the way you run, because when you start changing your normal gait during a race, that's just going to lead to, issues on other parts of your body because you're going to be running differently. So if it's impacting the way you run, I definitely encourage popping it. And I wish I had brought the full blister kit that I had, but I also have antiseptic wipes and also Neosporin, whatever the generic name is it for it. So you can definitely take care of yourself on trail and not necessarily have to wait until you get to an aid station. So yeah, I'm fine with popping. Obviously there's some concerns with popping blister out in the woods, but you know, not everything that we were doing is perfectly clean and safe out there.
That's for sure. I think one of the big themes here is address it as soon as you can. And yeah, I like what you said there, Coach Greg. If it's changing the way that you're running, you should probably address it maybe a little bit more aggressively. Well, let's shift gears a little bit to chafing and a similar issue, but different spots of the body. And Coach Melly, I want to start with you. Kind of what are you thinking about when in coaching your athletes on when it comes to chafing or chafing preventative, I guess?
KT tape. So honestly, if you know that you chafe in these areas or you start to feel the hot spots, and you know, I'm going to say, you know, for the female athletes, you start to feel the chafing, you know, around your bra or maybe you feel it around your pack, stop, put the KT tape there. So I like what Greg said earlier about having different sizes of KT tape, little ones for your toes, bigger ones for maybe bigger chafing spots. Also, this is what I do for chafing. You know, there's a lot of, you know, Body Glide and Scroll Nut Butter and all that stuff is great. I just buy antiperspirant deodorant and I use that. And so I rub that on the spots that I chafe before run, and I keep a little sample like travel deodorant in my pack, and I'll reapply that. Something that Jacob brought up today is if he's already chafed, he doesn't like to put on like the nut butter or deodorant because it stings. So he always carries body powder. And so when he's already chafed, then he'll use the body powder and that doesn't sting. And that helps him from chafing anymore.
I love it. And one note, you say it way cooler than I do. I say chafing, you say chafing. I love it. You say it so much better.
No, I'm not sure the right way.
I don't either. We're down south. We say chafing. I don't know. Coach Greg, what about you?
I say chafing, so I don't know if it's the right way or not. Specific for the men, and again, I hate to keep talking about exoskin, but I wore, this is kind of gross, but I did wear the same pair of liners for all of Cocodona because I didn't get any chafing. They're comfortable. And I didn't use lube. So that's what I race in. And, you know, I wear it under my shorts in all of my races. I actually have some female athletes that wear it under their short tights that, you know, some prefer to have pockets. So that's been good for me for the last few years. I will carry some lube in a small thing, a lube just to have handy. You never know. I would agree with Melody. Especially for the females, that when you wear packs and sometimes the pack goes over where the tank is. If you've experienced any chafing before, again, take care of it ahead of time with tape. And there's no, you know, where you felt it before. So again, it doesn't take any time to preemptively take care of that. So yeah, pre-tape, carry a little lube. But if you're worried about chafing in the nether regions, I would recommend a good liner, and then you can wear whatever short you can wear, you know, fake jorts or chicken leg shorts. I don't know how anybody can do that without wearing a liner. So those guys and gals that can do that are very impressive.
Yeah. The fake jorts were a big player at the Cocodona 250 this year. I saw several athletes wearing the fake Daisy Dukes out there on the trail. Mainly the male athletes, which is interesting. Well, let's now head into sleep strategy. And it was interesting to watch the Cocodona 250 men's side because Michael McKnight had a really rough first day and in fact decided to sleep and do some things, kind of take it easy that first day. He started feeling a lot better and ended up winning by pretty considerable margin compared to how far Killian was at it ahead at one point. And a lot of the commentary was about, well, he got some sleep that first day that a lot of the athletes did not get. So it brought up this idea of, when should you sleep? What's a good sleep strategy? So we'll stay with you, Coach Greg, as you're thinking about these longer races. What are you thinking about from a sleep strategy standpoint?
What I noticed from the first year and even into the second year and the third year is the first year, and we'll talk from a elite athlete perspective. And again, these races are so new. No one knows really what is optimal, and everyone's different, of course. But first year, I think everyone, or at least the front of the pack, tried to eliminate as much sleep as they could. And I think that's what Killian did. I think he was going, they talked about he was like at 38 hours and hadn't even taken a dirt nap. And it's probably, that might've been one of the reasons why he, you know, he fell back. And again, from a back of the pack perspective, we had planned 60 to 90 minutes on the first and second nights, and then 2 to 3 hours on the last. And I definitely got, I may have gotten 3.5 on the last night because we figured out that I, you know, I had enough cushion and I could use another 30 minutes. But I think it is a good idea to plan sleep and not just try to go as long as you can without. And I think it's similar to like the metaphor burning matches, right? It's hard to get that back when you're that exhausted. So I would plan, even you don't have to plan a full hour. But the important part for me also is we try to time it. And this is not something you can always get right because the aid stations are, you know, at certain spots. But you can time it to nap or sleep and get up and run like or in the early morning. So it kind of feels like you're waking up and it's somewhat normal. So your circadian rhythm, while it's going to be super jacked, it might not be as far off because say you get there at 3, you know, you can wake up. Some people run at 4. I don't, but you know, some people run at 4 or 5 a.m. and then it feels like a normal day. And of course, you know, the sun is gonna wake you up. And the other suggestion is, especially for races like Cocodona where it can be super hot and then super cold, is carry a bivy. I think everyone's probably going to keep a jacket and pants on them, but there were aid stations where I thought I was like, you know what? I got to one aid station and if I had a bivy, I could have just laid there on this yoga mat that someone had and it would have been great. But we ended up pushing on. And then about 30 minutes later, I said, I just need to lay down in the dirt. And having a bivy or something warm where you can just sleep when you feel the need, it's hard to. Last year, I think Tommy and I, we ended up both, we're just on the side of the road and we both kind of laid our backs on a tree and we only slept for 5 minutes. And then the 5 minutes between when we fell asleep, when we woke up, we were freezing. Felt like there was like frost on us. So Flagstaff is weird. So it took us a while to warm up. So if we both had a bivy there, we might've both had a bivy. We just didn't, we were too lazy to put it on. So just being flexible where you can sleep and not being afraid to take a 5-10 minute dirt nap wherever. So it's just, it helps to get you in between aid stations, in between sleep stations. So being flexible there, I thought was important.
Yeah. I think having that strategy ahead of time is important because I imagine and a lot of our listeners are going to be mid to backpackers. Maybe you're chasing cutoffs at some point. And I can imagine it would be easy to go, well, I'm not going to sleep because I'm chasing this cutoff. But maybe that's the worst thing you could do because it's just going to slow you down even more. Any thoughts about that?
We actually saw last year a couple of times or 2 or 3 times. We had a guy at sleep stations that would, you know, he would really clean up and he took a lot of time. And then we'd be down the road miles away and he'd come flying by like he was, you know, he's fresh as a daisy. And that happened about 3 times. So he was definitely sleeping more and taking care of himself in between, you know, at the nicer aid stations where there's more food and you can clean up and have quieter spots. So he used that strategy. Now he was taking several more hours. So that's risky. He was probably a better athlete than we were. So maybe he knew he had that cushion, but yeah, I think you'll see that people are going to start experimenting with different strategies, knowing how much sleep they can get away with. And if you're just wanting to finish and have a good experience, the more sleep, the better. I can remember a lot more about Cocodona in those 5 days than I can about certain hundreds where there's, you know, 5-10 miles that went by and I couldn't tell you what happened during that time because of sleep. So just having, you know, an hour here or 3 hours, then I felt more aware than I had been during, you know, races at last 30 hours, 36 hours. So it's just those, even we're not coordinated where we can take 1 minute naps, but just having a minimal amount of sleep sure did help.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, Coach Melody, anything to add to that? I know you've got athletes doing 100 milers.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that comes to mind is, have you guys heard Courtney DeWalter's 1 minute sleep story? So she, I don't know the full context of the story. I don't even know what race she was running, but she told her crew, like, I need to sleep just for 1 minute. And so her crew let her lay down and sleep. They set an alarm for 1 minute. And Courtney said she had full on dreams, and she woke up and she started yelling at her crew. And she said, I've been asleep for hours. Like, why did you let me sleep longer than a minute? And they were like, no, you literally slept for a minute. And that 1 minute snooze gave her the energy she needed to finish her race. And like I said, I don't know the context. I don't know if she won or, I mean, she's Courtney DeWalter, so she probably did, but I like the power of just, you know, a 1 minute nap. And like you said, I've never done a 200. I've never trained anyone for 200. I've trained athletes up to 100 mile races. And usually for a 100 mile race, you don't sleep. If you do, it's like a 5 to 20 minute power nap, and you're just going to lay down on the trail. So
there you go. Well, good stuff. I know we've all been inspired by the Cocodona, and I think 200s are becoming a little bit more, I wouldn't say mainstream in the trail running world, but certainly more common. I think more people are trying them because of events like the Cocodona 250. So thank you guys for sharing your strategies around blisters, chafing, and sleeping. Let's talk about your coaching business. Coach Melody, tell us a little about your coaching business, and if someone was interested in working with you, how they do that.
For sure. So I'm a trail running coach. My specialty is helping people cross the finish line of their first 100 mile race. If you want to get in contact with me, the best way to reach me is on Instagram at the Pine Tree Runner.
Awesome. Coach Greg.
So I coach both the road and trail 5K to 200 plus. You can reach me on Instagram at Ultra Ninja Runner, runner with no E. And yeah, that's the best way to get in contact with me.
Awesome. As always, thanks for joining the Corral, and we will chat with you guys next time.
Thanks.
Can't wait.